All right, so yeah, I new music, less sound effects. Everything is different, and while some people fear change, the Freak Accident embraces change. So yes, this is an all new episode of the Freak Accident podcast. It's actually going to be a transitional episode from Freak Accident 1.0 to Freak Accident 2.0, which will begin probably in September, maybe late August, but I haven't decided. Anyway, this episode is going to be a little different, obviously. Not only is it a episode being produced for the first time on the Macintosh computer, because I switched, but it's also not going to be your typical Freak Bite, but it's also not going to be your typical Freak Accident that is broken up into several segments. It's just going to be one segment, which is the summer reading list. And it's just going to be me talking about the books that I have read, both comics and regular fiction, as well as maybe the movies that I've seen. I know that's not reading, but, you know, just stuff that I've done. So sit tight, and when we come back, we'll have our Freak Accident summer reading list.
Freak Accident Summer Reading List.
All right, first things first, in comics. All right, it's hard for me to get to the comic shop more than once a month. You know, not just budget-wise, but time-wise. You know, I've got a lot of things going on, and getting out to the comic shop, which is about a 20-minute drive from my house, is a chore, but I still do it. I actually have begun turning that into a, you know, father and son bonding moment with my son. I bring him along to the comic shop, and I always pick him up a book, and it's usually something he's into at that time. Like, I got him a couple Justice League Unlimited comics, and then I got him a Scooby-Doo comic the last time we were there. So, yeah, so comics. This summer, I have a pile that I still haven't gotten to, because I haven't been interested in reading comics. Just getting around and laying. I like to lay down on my stomach like a kid and read my comics, and just getting around to doing that is hard. You know, I can't just read them in bed. You know, I have to read them in the living room. I have to read them somewhere where I know I'm not going to fall asleep and destroy them. And so I haven't really read a lot of comics this summer. Series that I have been getting into are Countdown, which is the sequel to 52, and The Dark Tower, The Gunslinger Born, which is an adaptation of the origin of Roland the Gunslinger from The Dark Tower, which is a Stephen King series. And I enjoy The Gunslinger Born strictly because I enjoyed The Dark Tower. I might not have enjoyed the ending so much, but anything Dark Tower related is always good for me. I've really been into it, and it's cool. The art looks great, and I think Robin Firth, the gentleman who's been commissioned by King to adapt it to comic form, has done a really good job of translating the origin story from the fourth Dark Tower book, Wizard in Glass, to comic book form, and Jay Lee's art is just stunning. And from what I understand, I believe I read this in Wired magazine, Jay Lee is actually hard at work on the sequel. So we'll see where they go from there, because they haven't done a lot of storytelling regarding Roland the Gunslinger and his friends outside of that origin story that can be found either in Wizard in Glass, but also in the first Gunslinger book. So I'm excited to see what they do with it, because so far it's been very, very pleasing. I have first editions of all of them except for issue 4. For some reason, I had kind of a brain fart when I requested my books. I didn't request that number 4, and I ended up getting a second printing. But, like, unlike a lot of collectors, I don't collect them for value or resale or anything like that. I collect them because I like them, and they're comics, you know? I'm not looking to pay for my kids' college through a bunch of comics because, number 1, that'll never happen, and number 2, saving for college is a little bit better if you actually use real money. So, Countdown so far, I'm a little underwhelmed. They increased the price, first of all, on a weekly comic from $250 to $299, which is hard. It's a lot of money when you think about it. And the story, well, I like what they're doing with it, and I appreciate the depths that they're going to restore the multiverse, which makes life sound a little bit more complicated and nerdy for me. But I like what they're doing, and I kind of feel a little gypped because I don't buy every book in the DCU. And Countdown seems to be framed around stories that are taking place within the DC universe. And it's sort of, it's not making me want to go out and buy more comics because, number one, I can't afford it. Number two, I'm not into every obscure character in the DCU. But I think it's sacrificing a lot of story that could be potentially put into the pages of Countdown. But so far, I'm liking it more than I liked 52, which I stuck with for a year. But I think the best thing about Countdown is that Paul Dini is pretty much overseeing all the writing, so there is some consistency in the storytelling, which I really appreciate. And we'll see where we go 6 months from now, whether I'm happy with Countdown or not, might determine whether or not I continue buying it, because it's not like I can't find back issues of 52 right now. But so that's the comics that I've read. Graphic novel-wise, I was able to get a review copy of a couple of the Zondervan comics that came out, the Z graphic novels that just were released about a couple of weeks ago. You have a great range of different storytelling or story types from, you know, you got a very kid-friendly adventure called Time Flies, to what I got, which is a more superhero-based, probably geared more towards, you know, young teenagers, called The Hand of the Morning Star. And all these books are manga-sized, and which surprised me because I wasn't looking to see them as manga, but I think it's a good marketing strategy to do them as manga because manga is huge, regardless of my personal feelings on it. I'm not a big manga fan. Simply because I don't get most manga. I don't understand it or understand the appeal. But Hand of the Morning Star is written by Brett Berner and Mike Miller with art by Mike Miller. Mike Miller, of course, is known for his work with DC and Marvel. He also did Transformers versus G.I. Joe for Devil's Due. Brett is not necessarily well known in the comics industry because he's a printer and a publisher that's active in youth ministry. Now, the Hand of the Morning Star storyline is it's an interesting take on superheroes, the source of superheroic power, and how we look at people that have power. I don't want to give away a lot of plot details because that would ruin your chances to go out and buy it. But it's the description says, the world watches as superpowered beings that clash in battle, but only time will reveal whether those who serve the elusive Morning Star, said to be a wise and powerful heavenly creature, fight for the cause of good or evil. The story itself is intriguing. It's really good self-contained stories in each volume. There's two out right now. The first one is called Advent. The second is Resurrection. And they are stories told from a Christian worldview. The first one, you don't really see it unless you are a Christian. You understand kind of some of the concepts that are being introduced and the seeds that are being sown for future storylines. The second one is a little more evangelistic, which is fine with me. It's done in a realistic manner, and it's not over the top. But it's a very good story. Mike Miller's art, he's typically a guy that you would see doing superhero stuff. And this is superhero manga, and his style translates pretty well to the manga style, especially if it's done with Americanized superheroes in it. So if you have kids that are, you know, between the ages of probably about 9 and 12, they'd probably be into The Hand of the Morning Star, because it's a lot like what they see on Dragon Ball Z or any of the other cartoons you see, Japanese manga or anime that's been kind of imported and has taken over the Cartoon Network. So I would recommend this to anybody who's the ages of 9 to 12 if they have the mental capacity to take the storyline. There is a little bit of violence, but it's all violence with a purpose. But it's nothing worse than what you'd see on the Cartoon Network for the most part. So Hand of the Morning Star is available at Zondervan.com, or you can visit the website at zgraphicnovels.com. That's zgraphicnovels.com. You can find out more information about that, as well as the other comics that are available from Z Graphics and what might be coming up potentially from them. So that's that. All right. Where am I at? 11 minutes I've talked about comics, which is more than I've done lately. You know, it's funny. I was watching some of my friends' kids today. You know, I would like to help people out. And I don't have cable, but they have cable. They have the Dish Network. And for the first time, I exposed my brain to G4, which I kind of equated to Geek CNN. There was a ticker going down on the bottom, and it was a live coverage of San Diego Comic-Con, which was last weekend, something that I have never been out to and probably won't ever get out to unless I have a lot of extra wealth or friends with money. But they were covering the Comic-Con, and they showed a lot of interesting developments in the Indiana Jones. They showed the set for Indiana Jones, or at least the cast. So you saw Shia LaBeouf in his 50s garb, Indiana Jones, or Harrison Ford was in his, you know, trademark hat and adventure clothes. And you even saw, her name escapes me, but the girl from the first movie that he was madly in love with. So, and Spielberg was there. So it was kind of neat to see that, but also to see a ticker down below talking about, you know, upcoming movies or announcements made at Comic-Con and things like that. I might dig through Comic-Con news and give you my opinion on my next episode on a lot of the Comic-Con news. A ton of stuff came out. There was an Iron Man trailer. There was a teaser trailer for The Dark Knight. Lots of stuff came out of Comic-Con that I could never touch on unless I really, really looked at the news that was coming out. Which I only saw a little bit of. So maybe I'll do that next week. But on to more reading. I like to read. The summer is really my reading time. I don't know why I read more during the summer than the winter. The winter I kind of like to huddle up in front of the television or in front of a DVD than expose my mind to books. I'm not sure why. It used to be the other way around. I used to watch TV during the summer and read a book, you know, during the winter. I think because I can go outside and read anywhere during the summer. And so I've been reading, you know, actual fiction. I started reading The Stand back in, I think, May. And I've read The Stand by Stephen King before, and I think this is my third time through it. I got about halfway through, and then a couple other books came in the library, and I decided to, you know, put The Stand on the back burner. I will get back to it. But I had heard about these books by reading Entertainment Weekly. The first one is a book by Larry Doyle, who used to write for The Simpsons, and it's called I Love You, Beth Cooper. Now, you might think this is typical young adult fiction, and it's not. It's actually very adult. The content is adult. But it really, really is a good homage to the 80s movies of John Hughes, those teen movies of coming of age and things like that, like The Breakfast Club and 16 Candles. And I really am excited to see this as a film. I've heard it's been optioned. I think the only guy that can direct this is Kevin Smith. Entertainment Weekly said that the main character, Dennis Cooverman, should be played by Shia LaBeouf. I disagree. Shia is a little overexposed at this point. They should probably get an unknown guy, or maybe someone that's minimally known, like the kid from Arrested Development, for instance, who's in Superbad, that's coming out in a couple of weeks. I think he'd be a good casting choice for the main character. But overall, it's a good story. It's a sweet, realistic story about graduation night in the modern day. And it really, really, really is a throwback to those classic 80s films. I laughed out loud more than I have reading any book. There are a couple of offensive moments in it. If you don't like R-rated material, there's a couple things in there that could be considered R-rated. While I'm reading it, I cast the movie in my mind. I can see Beth Cooper, the titular character, being played by Hayden Panettiere from Heroes. I can see if Kevin Smith directed, it'd be great if he can get Bruce Willis to play the coach, because I think he'd be perfect. And the coach is only in like two scenes, and I think Bruce Willis would be hilarious. But the story itself is about a guy who professes his love for his high school crush from the stage of from the graduation stage during his valedictorian speech, and what leads in that leads into a night of pure chaos. The whole book is set in a span of 8 or 9 hours, and it's only about 250 pages. So if you want a laugh out loud comedy that you can see on this big screen eventually, get I Love You, Beth Cooper out of the library. It's funny. If your sensibilities aren't such that you don't like a little bit of foul language here and there. So again, it's R-rated, but it's hilarious. Larry Doyle really hit it out of the ballpark for this. So there's that. That's what I've been reading. I also have a book that I started, which is very funny. I haven't finished it yet, but it's perfect for a fanboy who likes fiction. It's called Soon I Will Be Invincible, and it's by a guy named Austin Grossman. And I've only started. I'm only about 5 or 6 pages in, but it's about a super villain, and it's written from his perspective, and it's a great parody and satire of all those comic book stuff. Cliches that we get used to as comic book fanboys. And what I've read has been funny, and I'm excited to finish it. I've got a camping trip coming up, so I'll be bringing that along and hopefully finishing that too. All right. You can hear the books falling and stuff in the background. I don't run a very high-tech operation. But anyway, movie-wise, I've seen a lot more movies this summer than I have in a while. I started off the summer obviously seeing Spider-Man 3, which I was rather disappointed in. I thought it had a lot more potential, but they tried to cram too much in. It almost has suffered from the Batman syndrome, where you throw in as many villains as you can and hope you can get a good story. I thought it was the most comic book-esque of the Spider-Man films, but it was still kind of a disappointment for me, in that it did not live up to its potential, and I thought Venom was wasted. I thought he could have been used for a lot more, but what can you do? You know, Venom's Venom, and the movie's out there. It is what it is, and there ain't no going back unless they pause for a couple of years and reboot. Also, I went to see Transformers, which I already reviewed here, which I was disappointed in, but it was not a surprise that I was disappointed in it. But the following, that evening, after seeing it, I saw Die Hard 4.0, or Live Free or Die Hard, whatever it's being called. And that's been my favorite movie of the summer so far. I thought it was hilarious. It's good, dumb, explosive, fun, like any Bruce Willis action flick should be. And what else? I saw The Simpsons movie last week. The Simpsons movie was surprisingly heartwarming in spots, but there was a little bit too much innuendo for my tastes. I think blue comedy should be left to, you know, blue comics, not The Simpsons. And I was also disturbed by the number of children that were at the movie. The movie's rated PG-13, but I saw so many kids under the age of 5 and 6 that were there watching it with their families. And I don't consider The Simpsons to be a family show. I consider The Simpsons to be PG-13. And I don't think they've ever come out and said that it's PG-13, but they've almost done a pretty good job of trying not to market it to kids, at least the past 7 or 8 years. It's kind of lost its appeal to some kids. But again, it's on in most markets and reruns at 6 o'clock in the evening and possibly at 11. So it's been promoted to family TV. So I was a little bummed that there were so many kids in there. And especially for the fact that there was a lot of innuendo in there, a lot of adult humor that didn't need to be in there. There's been a lot of controversy about a scene involving Bart skateboarding naked, but it really built onto some concepts that were later on, used later on in the film, and it was one of the funniest scenes of the movie, and I'll give you that. But it was a good flick. On my scale, it's 3 out of 5. It loses points simply because of the amount of innuendo, but overall, it was a pretty good movie. But still, winner of my summer award right now for best movie or most exciting movie or the most satisfying movie experience was Die Hard, and it's going to be really hard to top that. There's movies, other movies I want to see. You know, obviously there's a third Rush Hour movie, Hot Rod, and Underdog. I know I'm probably the only person over the age of 6 who wants to see Underdog. I don't know why. I think it looks funny. And Jason Lee in anything is funny. And I don't care what anybody says. So I will be seeing Underdog, at least with my son in tow. At least then I can't be embarrassed to see it. I'll just say I went to see it for my kid, right? But so the summer is coming to a close in a month. And the freak accident is not coming to a close. It's just coming to a transition. And that's what this is. It's our transitional episode here, the freak accident. If you want to send me feedback, send me an email at freakax, that's freakax at gmail.com. That's freakax at gmail.com. I don't have a call-in number. I lost it because I didn't use it very much. So send emails, MP3 files, anything to that email address. I'd love to hear from you. Here at the Freak Accident, we do our best to serve the fanboy in us all. And until next time, don't take any wooden nickels.
The boss will be with you. Always.
Wait a minute. This sounds pretty cool, but I don't want to use this voice.
Accident.